Welcome to Haunt Topic Radio, the podcast for haunters by haunters. These are our scary visions.
Are you part of their group?
Kind of in my military thing again. It's like, no?
Then up against the wall!
They kind of looked at me.
Up against the wall!
Kind of going all commando on them. And they turned and they looked at the wall.
Like, you stay away from other groups. They may be infected and they're going to get you killed.
And then I took off. And they're like, And they're at the
like, like, when do we move?
You can go now.
To me, I feel like HauntCon now becomes a reunion where I can meet with friends that are old friends, meet new friends, and continue to help drive the industry forward.
My goodness, haunters, what a season! Well, it's November. I think our last podcast was, September and October flew by. I mean, just like that. Once I can get laser focused on one thing, it's hard for me to turn directions. So hopefully you guys caught some past episodes, maybe that you didn't get to listen to, that kind of kept you busy. But we are back. As you know, I run Dead Factory Haunted House in Missouri. This is our fourth year. We start building out there around May, and of course September and October are crazy with adding on and tweaking things and getting the actors ready and costuming and insurance and marketing. And we do most of that ourselves. We're a small team, so a lot of stuff goes on behind the scene. But we are back. This episode, you will hear me and Daryl Plunkey. Daryl Plunkey, the co-host of Haunt Topic. He's scare actor manager at Edmonton House in Canada. Going to talk a little bit. This was recorded a couple weeks ago, but we were talking about our season. We were still in mid-season at this time, so you'll hear a little bit about some of the staffing issues we were having, some things that were going good for us, so we talked about that. We also got Liz on from HauntCon. This will be, I don't know how many years I've been there. This is my third or fourth year of HauntCon. Me and Daryl will be at booth 122. Haunt Topic Radio representing. You guys need to come see us. If you haven't booked your stuff, then you might want to start. It's in January in New Orleans. Listen to this podcast for more information. Or you can also go to this blog post at haunttopic.com/HauntCon2019. We will be there doing interviews. We're going to be doing a roundtable in the middle of the trade show floor. We're going to be representing Scarab badges as well, and maybe a little bit of Haunter's Toolbox. So come see us at Haunt Topic at booth 122. I want to give a huge shout out to the Scare Factor, the review team that came out and reviewed the Dead Factory in Missouri. And we got a good review from a bunch of guys, great group of guys. Some things we need to improve, which I kind of knew that we needed to improve, but overall, it was a good season. Our attendance was up. Our actors did a great job. For the most part, our customers were well-behaved and did what they needed to do, but looking forward to 2019 and more improvements to come next year. Well, it's good to be back. We're excited for some more podcast episodes throughout the year, and of course, I keep updated with all things us. HauntTopic.com, where you can find our podcast and be a subscriber to our newsletter. You can go to HauntersToolbox.com. It's our private membership community where we have monthly mastermind meetups and training all about starting and growing your haunted attraction business. Everything's done online. There's a free and a paid side to that. You can go to ScareBadges.com. We sold some scare badges this year. We gave out some scare badges to our actors, which is a merit system for scare acting. And of course, you got to come see us at HauntCon at HauntCon.com. Well, enough rambling. Let's get it started. with me and Daryl talking about our season, and Liz from HauntCon talking about what's coming up for HauntCon 2019.
How are you, buddy?
You know, the haunt season.
Tired
the
haunt, AF?
The haunt season. Dragon ass. Yeah. So.
Oh, that silicone mask behind you. Does it have a light up eye?
No, I put it. It's a pair of steampunk goggles I put on it.
Okay. Because we've got one similar to that that's got a light up eye.
Yeah, no one would ever want it. No one wanted to wear it. And it's like, it's an oversized head anyway, and then it's really heavy.
We've got a couple of masks.
Even like when I put it on, it's like sags, and it's like so heavy, and it's part of the silicone has been eaten by something. Like I bought it used and didn't realize it was that bad, but it's like something is soaked into it. I know it's like a liquid, but the silicone just crumbles.
Wow.
So I don't know if it's like some kind of anti-silicone, you know, whatever they used to.
What the hell does all silicone? Huh?
I don't know. It's crazy. But so it's like a stationary piece now. So maybe next year I'm thinking maybe getting some like half mask, even if they're either the partial silicones or maybe some sock masks or something that are easy to breathe.
Yeah, we've got some issues with some of the silicone masks that we have that are just, they're too heavy for people to wear. Like we've got this beautiful piece that it's a spider's head, and the thing is like this wide, like it's just massive, right?
Yeah.
But it honestly weighs like 14 pounds.
But I do have some really good, I do have some surprises though, like first time actors that I didn't think were going to be as good as they were, and they ended up finding the right spot for them.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, and to me, I have to meet them, I have to see, talk to them for minutes, you know, kind of fill them out, see exactly where I want them at.
Yeah.
Because I'll have new people that come in like last minute, you know, 6:30, we open up at 7 because they're either somebody came with a friend or I'm like, all right, so you just hang tight for a minute. We're going to get everyone else in their spots. I have enough overflow people now. Now just give me a minute, and I'll see if someone doesn't show up. Then I'll put you, you know, in a spot that's easy.
Yeah.
So it's just managing. But I do have some that are really, that turned out really good. Some that still need tweaking. We're going to do more of an actor workshop next year. We didn't do that this year, so...
Yeah, we had 6 or 7 training classes. So it 6, I think. Yeah. But there's still some that until you get into the haunt and see, you've got scenes that are 2 minutes long. We're bringing actors in on Friday and Saturday nights. Sorry, we're bringing customers in probably between about 40 seconds. So you're getting a group of 6 coming in every 40 seconds.
Wow.
40 to 50 seconds, right?
Right.
Because what happens is outside we've got a lineup that people line up. It's in an Army tent, a U.S. Army tent. And then the person kind of checks them over for infection. When they come in at the ticket booth, they get a stamp on their hand. And usually one of their group has an infection. So those are the ones that need to get rushed to the front, right? So they get treated right away. So those are our speed passes. And so there's somebody outside that you know, checks them over with an ultraviolet flashlight and stuff and then sends them to one of 3 lineups. And basically we've got a military guy that opens the door and is like, okay, number 1, get in here, up against the wall. And as they're in the queue line outside in the tent, they hear all of the rules and stuff. There's an audio track that plays, but then the first half a dozen groups of the night we time about 90 seconds apart. But once that's busy, or once that gets done, we he gives them the brief rules, a rule recap again. So basically his spiel now is no touching anything or anyone in the house because it'll kill you, and or because it may kill you, and no use of electronics because I may have to. Now, about face, get inside. And they go into the next room, and there's a guy there that speaks Russian and Bulgarian and stuff, and he's tough to understand, but we put him there on purpose because he's had a military and police career. So he starts barking orders out in multiple different languages, plus English, right? And people have no idea what the fuck is going on. So he gets them to put their hands above their head, and we've got a fog blast from above. So fog and bright white lights. And this room is bright white, and it just frickin' blinds you. But when we're going at full speed, as soon as he starts his spiel and the light goes on from the thing and it stays on for about a second and a blast, that's when the guy at the front brings the next people in. And it's like, fuck, it is so fast. And partway through the house, they invariably, you know, cluster up, right? But we can't run it slower because, well, Saturday was 6 hours and we ran at 45 seconds with groups of probably an average of four for 6 hours, you know, so that's two groups every 3 minutes. So 6 hours, 500-600 people. No, it must have been more than that. My math isn't good. But we ran at 6 hours at 45 second intervals. And got actors who have no voices. I got one that had some health issues. He's got abscesses. He's got false teeth, and he's got abscesses in his teeth, so he can't work anymore. I've got four or five with bad knees. I got some that can't wear the masks. We've got makeup people, and now we've got a makeup station where they can apply their own black eye makeup. But something seems to be happening because people are eyes are all puffy and stuff the next day. So it's fun.
Yeah, that's I got people that just don't show. I mean, they show up, they don't tell me that they're not coming.
How many actors do you have altogether?
Man, I was figuring it up. See, I had
because we're getting positions. Do you normally have?
Well, okay, so I can run the haunt on 17 people is what I could officially, if I had all my roles covered, that would just be one person per room. There wouldn't be a distraction actor or anything like that, or, you know, a buddy. So, one night we almost had to do that because Friday there was a lot of people that there was like dances and then a family of five that usually comes to help. The wife was tired and, you know, and she had to go to work the next day. So they didn't come out. So there was five people that were gone. And then I had I spaced everybody out and we still got good reviews that night. So it was still successful. That's what I mean. It's stressful, but I can usually when I get in my groove and I'm like, all right, you go here. Okay. Tristan, Dr. Phobia is gone. I have a proposition for you. Do you want to work his position? And he has this thing. He's 16-year-old kid, but he's like, he's been a clown. He was the cannibal chain of the floor. He's got this thing. He wants to try to do all these different scenes all year long. He's like, that would make five scenes. I'm like, exactly. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm like, all right. So he's got this. So we need a badge for that, like a most versatile or, you know, but I have a list of freaking ideas that I haven't written down yet about things that I've come across. Parade, special effects, but anyway, I'll talk about that later. But anyway, so I ordered 34 t-shirts and 14 hoodies. So 14 hoodies are going to my 2 to 3 year act or 3 to 4 year actors. So they've earned a hoodie. And then I'm giving t-shirts to everybody that's helped that, you know, donated at least like 2 or 3 nights. So So they're all getting t-shirt.
How many nights are you open altogether?
Just 10. So really, I mean, we get there at 5:30, but 7-11. So it's almost just 40 hours for the month. You know, there's some people are like, oh man, Halloween, I wish it was 6 months a year.
No, you don't.
And then you can tell some people that are worn out like me. So I'm like, oh, we only got two more nights. But I just been.
So you're not opening on Halloween night itself?
Nah, we've done it once and just the numbers weren't there to justify it. So, and then everybody that, either has kids, which that would knock out probably about half of my, we're thinking about opening it up. I had one time thought about opening it up, just doors, no actors. They did that. We did that like year two, I think, just for opening up, you know, maybe there might've been 100 people or so. So it's like when Kay gets a little older, like I want to go trick or treating with him.
Yeah.
Cause it's to the age where I've only been like, I think I went last year with him. And so I think once he stops, then I might continue to open that up like at Halloween and have like a party type of thing out there, you know, for everybody to do, like have kid stuff. But just so right now, our numbers aren't there. I mean, I'm sure I can market it, but we have nothing in place. We tried pumpkins 1 year for the kids. So they might next year might be different because I want to add another attraction in there. It's going to be like an outdoor themed indoors because we have part of the, which will be called Phobia 13 once I split the two attractions to get two different attractions. But in the back, right behind Dr. Phobia's lair, you go out his chamber, then you enter a swamp. And then from the swamp, you enter a mummy room, and in a mummy room, he goes into the spider room, and the spider room goes into the chop shop. Well, I'm thinking about taking the swamp, spider room, and mummy room, and that's going to be split off into our other attraction. And so you'll go from straight from Dr. Phobia's lair to the chop shop, and then it's going to be an outdoor, indoor, so I'm going to do camo netting, privacy fence, pallets. Trees, bringing real trees in, making a whole, it's going to be based around witches and Halloween stuff, more like werewolves, witches, pumpkins, scarecrows.
Less
blood and guts.
So make it look like a maze, but not actually be a maze.
Right. There might be arrows, you know, which way. And then one way takes you through actor spot on the left, and if you take the right, that gives the actor spot on the, you know, same actor controlling both spots.
Yeah.
And then just have, I'd like to have some kind of witch in the center somewhere where you actually got to walk, do a UE around her, you know, sitting with a cauldron or, you know, having body parts in it or whatever, and then having a jump scare, you know, right there. But, you know, we got the scarecrow and the laser and the mummies and stuff, so we're going to. And all I need to do is build a 4-foot hallway off of our back wall panels. And that hallway goes straight into the actor exit door. And then I'll have exits and I'll start building my other attraction. Anyway, and it's cool because it's in an old loading dock and it's the loading dock flood. I mean, right now it looks like a swamp because it's got so much, it holds water.
Oh.
Because the drain's clogged. So. We're thinking about building a bridge from the loading dock all the way out to the two double doors, and that'll be a queue line, but we're going to build like a deck kind of off of it and then have actually got a full-time animatronic guy on staff now. So it's like he's built some things with us in the past, and he wants to put like alligators in the water or, you know, something sitting there in the water. But I was thinking it won't cost us a whole bunch, maybe in the props and the costuming, but because I have like a bunch of pallets and fence and got to buy the camo netting, a lot of organic stuff. So, by the time I'm done building and designing, you know, and I guess we started in May, but I mean, this time of year, you know, everyone else is out scaring and I'm managing everything. I haven't even scared this year at all. So I'm like, nope, I'm manager, guys. I'm manager Brian right now. So,
yep.
So I come check on you, you know, make sure you're relief for breaks, whatever, but.
HauntCon is doubling in size this year, and we want you to join us January 25th through the 27th in New Orleans. Haunt Topic will be there, and we are offering our listeners 10% off a full weekend pass when you enter the following code, HauntTopic. That's one T and no spaces. If you're in the business of haunting, you need to be in New Orleans. The first show of the year will feature new products, ideas, and networking, including over 100 vendors with props and decor, makeup, masks, lighting, costumes, animatronics, and more. Over 70 hours of advanced haunter education, hands-on workshops, demos, behind-the-scenes tours, and the annual costume ball, and much more. Plus, HauntCon will again take place side-by-side with the Halloween and Party Expo, and provide you first look what will be hitting retail stores in 2019 and more chances to shop costumes, accessories, and decor. It's time for something new. Innovation is coming. Get your tickets today, HauntCon.com, and remember, use the code HauntTopic for 10% off.
So we have Liz Irving on from HauntCon and Halloween Party Expo. I guess, you know, that show combined here. And just kind of get Liz on to see what they have in store for HauntCon 2019 in New Orleans. Me and Daryl were there last year, had a blast. Right, Daryl?
Oh, yeah. It was
remember,
a great
remember
time.
That remember that dance party we had?
Mm-hmm. You guys know how to throw one heck of a party, Liz. It was wonderful. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm so happy you guys were there, and I'm glad you had a great time. We, too, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, what kind of things did you learn from the show last year?
You know, it was our first year running HauntCon. We had an amazing advisory board who was there to guide us along the way. And I think, really, once our team saw HauntCon in action, interacted with more customers, we learned so much. Oftentimes you hear a lot of things you're doing right, but oftentimes you hear things that you really need to work on, and we take that to heart. And customer focus and customer insight is really what our guiding principles are. So this year we've implemented so much that's going to be new based on what customers told us. And, you know, first, if you think about the exhibit hall, one of the things that we talked a lot about with customers was the diversity of the products you'll find on the show floor. And what we were hearing was we needed to have more costumes, more masks, more makeup, more props. And this year, you're going to see it. We committed to doubling the size of the exhibit floor, and we're just about there with the goal for this year to double the size and double the diversity of what we're bringing to the show.
Are you guys still looking for vendors, speakers, volunteers, et cetera?
We are. We always are. So if anyone's interested in participating, we would certainly love to have you, and you can reach out to myself or any member on our team, and we'd love to provide you with more information and see what we could build together.
So I know Haunt Topic Radio is going to be doing some roundtables with the Big Scary Show on the show floor, so we're going to be doing that, picking some topics, some professional speakers, and doing that. What other kind of trainings you guys have set up this year?
Yeah, so the education piece has always been a real strength of what HauntCon brings to the industry. I'm delighted to let you know that not only have we reformatted the education, but we are going to actually be building out education sessions on the show floor. So instead of last year, they were upstairs separate from the exhibit floor, we are holding everything with HauntCon all in one location, so you can go from the exhibits right to education and into the roundtables. So this year you'll have access to over 70 hours of education. What we've done this year is to really focus on having more advanced level courses. We've got some really, really powerful speakers who are coming on board. People like Amy Holloman, Marty Kerr, Ted Dockery, John Cook, Scott Swenson, they're coming to speak with us this year. You'll hear more topics around scenic design, how to use lighting. We have a really exciting topic that we are launching with the National Fire Marshals Association that is all about releasing the new fire codes for escape game owners. They're coming out in January, and they're going to first release them here with us at HauntCon. In addition, we've partnered with Gantam to run a customer panel live on our Haunted Trends runway. So working with Philip Hernandez to put on a really stellar panel about what's happening in the industry. And you'll also have the first ever Women's Haunter panel, which I'm really excited to be bringing to customers at HauntCon.
Wow, that's some pretty powerful things. Some of the people that you mentioned are leaders in their fields and the industries that, you know, and to have them teaching people at HauntCon, I think, is going to be great for everybody that gets to attend.
Yeah, we're really excited about it, too. We know that the Haunters really love to learn and network and share with each other. And we were thrilled when we launched our call for papers, and we had great presenters coming forward. In addition to the folks I mentioned, we've got a lot of new speakers who are coming to showcase what they're doing and showcase what they've learned in the industry. And we know that's going to be a powerful piece. Along with the roundtables that you mentioned, we've reformatted our roundtables this year as well. So we're holding roundtables based on what type of haunt business that you run from and how long you've been in business for. So we'll have entry-level roundtable courses to advanced-level thinking. And really the idea is to build mastermind classes where folks can feel comfortable dropping in, talking, sharing ideas, sharing common problems, and together coming up with solutions to how do you drive innovation and keep the industry growing and thriving as we go forward.
Speaking of networking, what kind of nightlife you guys got going on outside the show?
Well, you know, we are in one of the best cities for nightlife, being mm-hmm. in New Orleans, of course. So in addition to what the city offers already, we're having our annual tours. So this year we kick off on Thursday with an inspiration tour. We are going to a couple of different places this year. We're going to the Bank of Architectural Antiques, which has a really unique creative products that folks can purchase and look at. We're going to the Museum of Movie Props, which are all these amazing movie props that have been stored and put on display down in New Orleans. We're going to Terror on the Gulf, so a haunted house that will do the Lights On tour. And then we're ending in New Orleans with a tour, a ghost tour around the city, so a guided ghost tour, which we're really excited about. Actually, that was the number one event that customers had asked us to put on the schedule this year, was bringing a ghost tour together. So we're excited for that on Thursday. On Friday evening, we have a lights off October-style haunted house at Terra on the Gulf. And all customers who are going to that will also be able to have a networking reception right there at the haunted house after we conclude the haunt tour. Saturday is the costume ball, like you talked about. It's the Brewing Booze and Booze. It was such a blast last year, and we are just thrilled to be able to bring it back again. And that party is hosted not only with HauntCon, but it's also open to Halloween and Party Extra, so it brings both sides of the industry together. And then Sunday, we are hosting three separate ghost tours around the city of New Orleans, so customers can also experience New Orleans and also get a little taste of the haunted life that visits the city.
I am looking forward to all of this stuff. Don't know if I'm going to have the time to visit everything that I want to do, but I've just been looking at the show floor, and this place is massive this year. You aren't kidding that you doubled the size of HauntCon, and it looks like you've expanded on the Halloween and Party Expo, too. This is going to be a massive facility with a lot of really great people teaching stuff there.
Yeah, we're really excited. And if you think about what HauntCon and Halloween and Party Expo together bring the industry, there's really new opportunities to see the first product launches hitting the market. And then with the Halloween and Party Expo side, we are working to identify exhibitors who are on the retail side who will sell to haunters. So we have haunt-friendly icons at every booth. So haunters can very comfortably go over to a Halloween and Party Expo exhibitor and know that they're able to purchase products without the higher minimums that typically those customers would sell for. So I think collectively, you know, Hondras are in store for a real treat this year, and we're excited to host them and show them how we've evolved and how we've listened to their feedback.
Well, I'm excited to go. Going to see Daryl again, live and in person.
And our booth is right next to some of our friends from Magic Wheelchair. We're right across the aisle from them again. We had a great time with them, and next to the Big Scary Show, we had lots of fun last year.
Yep, and so where can anybody find to go ahead and get their tickets, hotel rooms, probably hopefully still available? Where can they find all that information at?
So all of that information is on our website, so hauntcon.com. We have, again, a Haunters hotel block. So we've got a dedicated hotel, a different hotel this year, for our Haunters to stay in. It's the Spring Hill Suites. It's an all-access suite hotel that has breakfast in the morning as part of the price. We also have reserved some parking in New Orleans. So it's discounted parking for Haunters, which we're excited about, again, based on feedback we heard for all those folks driving in. For folks who want to register, they can register on our website. And if they are a listener of Haunt Topics, they can also receive a 10% discount on the full weekend pass.
That's right. They can just put Haunt Topic into the discount box and push buy this ticket. Sign me up. So, well, I'll ask you one more question before we sign off. What was your favorite part about the show last year?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard to choose, but I'll tell you, my favorite part, and it's always been for years doing trade shows, is meeting the customers that you talk to throughout the year and finally establishing a face-to-face relationship. And I found so many of those have turned not only into being customers, but being friends and staying connected. And to me, I feel like HauntCon now becomes a reunion where I can meet with friends that are old friends, meet new friends, and continue to help drive the industry forward. But ultimately, beyond that, I really cannot wait for that costume ball again. We had such a blast. It was so fun to see everybody really having a chance to enjoy, to let loose, and really celebrate what they love about the season. It's costuming and celebrating and Halloween in general.
Yeah, that was definitely a good party. It's probably one of the best haunt parties I've been to.
It was definitely a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
So, Daryl, anything you want to ask Liz before we sign off?
No, I think we got everything, and I think we've whet everybody's appetites as to what is coming up. Now, I know we're going to be talking to you again over the next couple of months, Liz, so hopefully we've got some new information, and people have to come back and listen, find out who some of those new vendors are on both sides, both HauntCon and Halloween and Party Expo, that they will be interested in coming to see. Is that a deal?
That sounds fantastic, and I can't wait to have you guys join us again this year and look forward to talking to you in the coming months.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Liz.
We'll talk to you next month and see you in January.
That sounds great. Have a good night.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Kyle, Chevron, Gargoyle.
So you got 11 days of Hell Week starting tomorrow. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Weeknights, Thursday this week and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Oh, maybe we're open later on Halloween, but we're only open 7 to 10.
And you guys do that much? You guys do that much throughput every night, or is that just like on a busy Saturday night?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday were that busy. Friday we go till midnight, but we start at 7. Sunday we go from 6 to 10, but Sunday night we'd finished pretty much by about 9:30. So from 6 to 9 o'clock, it was that 45 seconds between groups.
Right.
And then it just like dead, game over. Nobody showed up.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah,
and just when you think nobody's going to show up, there's like one couple that shows up. It's like fuck, yeah, son of a bitch.
Yeah, right at closing time, like right 11. That's funny because we had one show up, and I thought that they were already out. So I'm telling the radio, okay, house is clear, you know, and when to turn the house lights on, and they were still in the freaking dark maze, right?
Oh.
So they got jammed up in the dark maze because the actor that I had back there, I think she's been having medical stuff and she actually has a live snake. Sometimes the snake doesn't work out. I mean, we're even having her under a heat lamp, you know, and she's behind a cage. So she was gone. So there was nobody back there. And this couple, because the siren went off and then I went to go look for them, they were going back the other way. I'm like, oh shit. And I was like, and half of my house was gone. So I was like, oh man, what am I going to do? It was four teenagers. So we just played it. I had some spare actors. I'm like, here, get in this spot real quick. I went and turned the house lights back off and,
run around. And once they pass your room, run around in the egress and go to that other room.
That's what we did too. We just like fucked with them. So
how long does it take to get through from the time they enter the front doors to the time they leave?
So what happens is, like you said, the 2 minute spot. Well, what I do is my reception area is like a nurse station. Yeah. So the nurse checks them in, does her little spill, and they get down the hallway, and then this palm sander on a motion sensor goes off. So I still have that in my hallway, which is like really loud right above them. And then as soon as that goes off, I have her send another group in, and then she talks to him for 2 minutes and then sends them in. So I try to, so that's my throughput is about 2 minutes. And that was about a 40 minute wait between groups.
Now, when they enter that front door though, till the time they leave, about how long?
About 25 minutes.
Yeah. See, ours is shorter this year. It's only about 15, 12 to 15, depending on their speed. So Ryan, the place that we're in, he wants to add a second level next year, but you said you're going to split a couple of rooms off and do a second haunt. So that'd bring it down to about 20 minutes for the one.
Yeah. It'd probably be close to 20 minutes. I'm hoping it'd be 20 minutes a piece.
Yeah.
But it all depends how I can slow them down because I can still have that, you know, that time because I'm not running those kind of numbers. So it's, yeah. Until, like, I was the other night working the door, and I was running, you know, because I will allow two groups. If they're at a couple, they can go in by themselves. And so I can allow that to happen, but I started to put, like, four together, you know, or, like, if two couples were standing there, I'd put them in as four, because four is a good number for us because we have four chairs that they have to sit down in. I can still maintain the flow because I want, like, if there's a group of eight that wants to come through and they don't want to be separated, okay, I'm letting you guys know that you probably won't get as scared. Oh, we don't care. We're not separating. I'm like, okay, come on in, group eight. And then we'll send them in. they still get scared, some, you know, but they're, all right, well, that just went, you know, that was two groups that I could have sent in separately. Well, that speeds them up. All right. So, and we conga, we had a little bit of that, but I mean, where they jammed up, but I was kind of keeping control in the end because our exit is right by our entrance. So I can see them. That's the queue line. The chainsaw guys chase them out. So the queue line's getting entertained by the chainsaw guys, plus my two queue line actors that I have that are keeping them busy. So there's always something to do.
Our guys enter in the back of the building and they exit through the store at the front of the haunt. So they're totally separated. We get a chainsaw again this year too. Yeah. It's funny because we're using the bungee scarecrow this year. So we've got two scarecrows. There's a bungee scarecrow, but they, as they're walking along, they see a scarecrow in front of them. And it's like, that guy's real, that guy's real. And then the one comes out from the side on the bungee, and it just, they have no idea what the fuck it is because it's not well enough lit that all they catch is just a glimpse of a scarecrow and he's gone again, and they don't know what has happened, right? So then they go through an army tent where we've got a cannibal, and they leave the tent, and we've got one guy who's a little odd looking. He's a little shorter. I don't know. He's got some physical limitations and stuff, some physical problems. But he's not quite a midget, but he's significantly shorter. And he's just creepy looking, big bald head and a little odd. And he's holding a rope that trails off into the trees. And his lines are kind of like, "Do you want to play a game?" Or it's like, "You want to play a game?" It's like, no. Well, he does! And he pulls on the rope, and the guy comes out with the chainsaw, right? It's like, "I want to play a game. Who can run faster, you or him?" And it's pretty damn funny. It's pretty damn funny. So they chase them out into the store, and there's usually somebody in the store that every now and then I'll grab the camera and Snapchat the people running out the store, get us a little bit more business. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to do more of that. I've done some live streaming though from inside. I haven't got our chainsaw guys yet, but.
But the funny thing is you don't know what it is because by the time she posts it, you don't really hear the chainsaw anymore. All you see is the people just come smoking out of the curtain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people got to come down. It's like, oh, I'm not going to be that scared. There was some guys last week though that they were runners, and I don't know if they were stoned or drunk or what, but they were just super hyper and they were all over the place, and we ping-ponged them between actors a couple of times, including myself. They were running the wrong way and I was in a room because somebody said that they were, you know, watch this group. So I followed them through, and they come running back towards me, and they saw me and they ran around the other direction, and then they saw another guy and they ran back towards me, and then they moved their way past him, and then they saw this other girl that was, you know, all freaky and everything. So they ran back towards me, and I sort of dressed in military gear, and I pulled out my flashlight, and I was like, "What the fuck is going on with you guys?" I was like, "Okay, I probably shouldn't have swore, but you know, it's not like they were underage." And so they turned and they ran back the other way. I was like, "Nope, we're not going this way either." It's like, "You ain't coming back this way. You got to move forward." And then there was another one. One of my actors warned me that it's like, "Oh, there's a big group just ahead." You know, like they were 8 or 9 people. I couldn't split them up. So quickly hustled into the next room and saw them just before they left. And the 4 Asian people at the end of the group didn't look like the 5 that were before. So I ran up to them and it's like, "Are you part of their group?" Kind of in my military thing again. It's like, "No." "Then up against the wall." They kind of looked at me, "Up against the wall!" Kind of going all commando on them. And they turned and they looked at the wall. It's like, "You stay away from other groups. They may be infected and they're going to get you killed." And then I took off. And they're like, And they're at the actor
like,
in the room.
Like, "When do we move?"
"You can go now." They ended up catching up later, but, you know, it's a warning. Stay the hell away.
Yeah, that's a good. That's
at least
a good
theme that we can carry that out on, right?
Yeah, I like your old theme, though, because he starts, like, as soon as you're in the queue line.
Yeah.
You know, with the military tent and the...
People are loving it, because the queue line is sort of acting, even though the haunt, the walkthrough is only, you know, 12 to 15 minutes. They're getting that right from the time they get in the queue line. And they're seeing that as part of the experience, right?
Right. So, that's what it's about. See, they're making them think they're not in line as long as they really are.
Yeah. And really, the only people that we've got bad reviews from, well, there's been one customer and they had an issue. But the only people that have been really giving us bad reviews is former employees that are not at the haunt anymore.
That you shouldn't have been hired.
I took my nephews there. It's like, you did fucking not. It's been going downhill for the last couple of years. Yeah, coincidentally, since you left, it's been... No, it's actually been getting better.
Yeah. Have you had anybody down yet? Like, paramedic down? Like,
We haven't had to bring the paramedics in. We did have one girl that was super dizzy, but she was able to wait in the store. Kind of walked her out. There was somebody that had ACL problems that I actually had to carry out last weekend, but she was just, she weighed like, you know, 90 pounds maybe, so I was able to pick her up and carry her out. She had known ACL problems and her knee just gave out, but you know, that wasn't, it's not like we directly caused it. We've had a couple of people that were close to fainting, but okay. We've had lots of people drop to the floor, but it's just because one of the hallways they walk down, it's an old cave. They come through a sewer. They come through a claustrophobia tunnel, and it's a 24-foot one, so it's a good distance. And then they come through a cave that's got rough walls. And they get to one point, and they one of our characters reaches down from overhead. And there's been so many people that hit the floor. Right at the end of the hallway is a U-turn that goes into another cave where it's got a big Gorgolore creature. And I stand there. It's a good vantage point because that way I can hear that creature. I can see what's happening in the hallway. And about 10 or 15 feet away, there is another egress doorway that goes to two other rooms. So I can see four rooms right away as to what's going on, but they're not suspecting somebody coming from above. And I know I've had that happen at a haunt before, and it scared the living shit out of me. So he reaches down and just runs his long spindly fingers through their hair, and people will just drop to the ground. It's like, what the fuck touched me? A lot of people think it's their boyfriend or girlfriend, but sometimes it's just hilarious to watch these people.
I know. I'd like to set up a scare cam or something. Would be awesome. Yeah. Live feed.
Ryan's got some security cams, and he doesn't have them set up, but we'd love to set them up as sort of and use some of that footage as a blooper reel in addition to using it for security. So just to watch people run, not give anything away, you know, but set it up so that they can set a couple of them up anyway so that we can just watch them run.
Yeah, all the other haunts are doing it.
Yeah.
And we had a woman down in our hallway and closed the queue line down for 30 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, on Saturday night, one of our busiest nights.
What happened?
So that was
the one that you sent me the paramedic call, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I got there, she was face down. I mean, we run tight hallways, so like 36 inches, could have been a 40-inch hallway, but so everything was blocked. I had a group that we'd already caught up to them. They were standing there with us. I asked them if they wanted to start over. They eventually did. They eventually backed out and started over again. but her group said that she has known head of anxiety and PTSD, and the rumor was she was drinking. So I heard that from several people. Never got a paramedic. No one ever really could. I am the guy that radioed it in was an actor of mine. He's actually a sheriff, and he had his emergency bag there and his walkie that went straight to the ambulance. or dispatch. So he was, I mean, they were there in like 10 minutes or 5 minutes. It seemed like it was pretty quick, but they had to pick her up and not a wheelchair, but it was kind of like a set up stretcher because that nobody could, it was almost like she was drunk, but blacked out because they were trying to get her to say her name. You know, talk. She was kind of just sitting there just in a daze. And so they ended up strolling her out, which was, I guess, kind of good because the people in the queue line saw this go down and, you know, paramedics coming in. They're like, oh, shit. And they're like, oh, sorry, everybody. We had an accident. You know, and the queue line was, I mean, I went in there, it was half full. When I left, I mean, it was about ready to run out of the building. So I'm like, I don't know how many people were in there, but it's like, yeah, I'm sorry, we had an accident. And they're like, oh, okay. So they kind of knew what was going on, but we just ran them. I mean, I think we ran till midnight that night, about an hour past. But no, I guess I haven't heard anything out of it. So I don't know if she was at fault. Sounded like she might have been, but I don't know. She was down. But our EMT sheriff guy, he's like, yeah, I was kind of impressed how that all went down smoothly. I'm like, right? Because we had radios and walkies and
yeah. Well, you know, your emergency plan is okay. That's good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we got a woman customer down in the hallway in the morgue. I'm like, oh boy. Enjoy Hell Week and send me some funny stories.
I will do so.
I need to laugh.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
All right, man.
Okay, ciao, bro. Bye.
Kyle Chevron, clockwise through the graves. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Haunt Topic Radio. Please leave a comment wherever you found this podcast. Each comment you leave will help spread the word to other haunters around the world. See you next time.